Well, it's good to see each and every one out this morning, and beautiful day out there, and weather is just cooperating with us real good today, so good to see everyone out, and we're looking forward to a good study this morning, good lessons from God's Word, and to get us underway, that's Brother James to lead us in a word of prayer. Say it's good to see everyone out, and we encourage you to help us out in our study this morning. And again, if I happen to say something that is not in accord with the Word, I expect you to speak up and correct me, because I do not want to leave anything that's not the truth out there for people to twist around and cause someone to lose their soul. I believe last week we were in chapter 3 and lesson outline, and I believe we got down to question number 10. But to get us underway with our study this morning, I'd like for us to look over in Luke the 11th chapter, and here it was that our Lord tells the disciples something that they need to do, and that is, someone asked him about teaching them how to pray. And we notice here in the 11th chapter of Luke, beginning here in the second verse, "So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and we all also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" And here our Lord is teaching His disciples to pray, and that prayer can be said today, except what in that prayer do we not pray today? Our kingdom come. Because that's what we're studying here in Acts, that the kingdom now has come. And many in the so-called Christian religious world do not accept it that way, but as I understand it, in that prayer, He's teaching them to pray for the coming of the kingdom. And the kingdom has come now, and that's what we're studying. I just wanted to go back to that. If anybody has any comments, please speak up, and they'll be welcome. But anyway, last week in the third chapter, we learned several great lessons. And one lesson that we learned there last week is the apostles, that is Peter and John. We find now that they performed their first miracle. The first miracle now is performed here by Peter and John here in the verses 3 through 9 in the third chapter. And we just need to remember some of these things, and maybe other things we need to go back and rediscuss. But picking up in number 10 in lesson 3, in verses 22 and 23, we have a quotation from Deuteronomy, and what prophet is being spoken of here? Moses. All right. We find that Moses is being spoken of here in Deuteronomy. And we'll just, in other words, over there in the Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter and verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. From him you shall hear. And dropping down to about verse 17 and 18, and the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your brethren, and you will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to you all that I command you. And so there we find that the prophets are there. Any other comments along that line? Okay. Yes. Well, let's just go back and read that. I think that's correct. The Lord, beginning in verse 15, and I'll just read several verses here now. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. According to all you desired the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you. Now, like you is referring to Moses there. But the prophet is someone else, I believe, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command you. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of the other gods, that prophet shall die. He's emphasizing there that he'll be speaking to someone here. And I had down here that Moses was different from the other prophets, a deliverer and a lawgiver, and Jesus was like Moses, a deliverer and a lawgiver. Now, that's the answer I got down.
If there's any doubt, the text answers the question for us. If you read on down through the end of chapter 3, he's identified as Jesus.
Right.
So there's no question whatsoever about
that. Right. There's no question there, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I said Moses.
Yeah.
And I thought we were headed to a discussion about what Moses said.
I misread the question. I apologize. So it said, what prophet is being? And I had part of it covered up. So I appreciate that. Any other comments? Okay, number 11. Right. Jesus was sent to for the purpose the purpose of turning men, turning them from their iniquity, that is, from their sins. Now, in number 12, absolutely. They had enough witnesses here that this could not be. And we could look back to 3:16 and says, "In His name, through faith in His name, has made the man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So that completes our study there in the third chapter. Any other comments or questions about anything that has been discussed so far or needs to be added?
Well, the key part of that prophecy from Deuteronomy 18 is, "Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you." I think sometimes when we talk about the kingdom,
absolutely. Any other comments, inputs into the study? Well, now, as we get into the fourth chapter here, we find now that Peter and John is here on the scene, and they will be arrested, and we'll notice that this period of time, we have a large number that are obedient again. And I think this needs to be emphasized from time to time, is how many in that time received the word and they were obedient to it. And also, we learn here that Peter and John will be questioned. And they will... The question will be, "Now, by what power or by what name have you done this or doing this?" And so we find now that they're going to go into that discussion. But let's go through the questions, and I'll come back with any comments I'd have at a later point in the study. Beginning with question number one here in chapter 4. So at this time, we notice in the Jewish religion, for the lack of a better way to phrase it, are all following the same teaching. Nope. We have the Sadducees. Now, we have another sect known as the Pharisees. And they're the ones that... believed in the resurrection, and there was another sect, I believe, wasn't it?
The Herodians, there was also a sect called the Essenes.
Right. Variety of sects, and all of them had their little particular part of the doctrines that they adhered to. any other? If not, number 2. Right. So we find now that the numbers are growing here. And I don't remember my question here now, but were all these people here in Jerusalem at this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but where were they from?
Every
nation. Right. They were from many other nations, wasn't it? In that part of the world. And yes, there was a large gathering there. In fact, and I don't remember all the questions, but I'll hold that. I started to say something else, but I think we'll have something along that line as to what they're doing. Our next question. In fact, the next question, number 4, what did the council question them about? Well, it reminds us of if we've ever been involved in legal proceedings in the courtrooms and so forth, and or seen it on TV or whatever, we'll notice that the same tune is carried out today or similar. Yeah. I appreciate that because here it is. My little research here, the Sadducees more or less was in control at this time, although they had Pharisees in there too. But the Sadducees appear to be the one doing the talking, but they are leaving out this other. And great. Good point. Any other comments along that line? Our next question here.
How would you know what to say to these rulers? Where is the state that are in this time?
All right. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what are we saying now? When we read that he is filled with the Holy Spirit, give us some information.
Well, it would be the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them that they would stand before kings and rulers and whatnot, that they would be given words to say. I think this is an example of that.
Great, great answer. Well, I think it is according to the Scriptures. But now we notice that this is the apostles here. Who else had this power at this time?
Only those that they had laid their hands on.
But this hasn't happened yet now, has it? They're laying their hands on them. But at this time, as Philip points out, the apostles are the one that's empowered with this power, right? Right. I appreciate that point. I had a note here somewhere, but I got so many notes till I get lost in my notes. But I appreciate that. Any other comments along that line? Well, the only comment I would have is we have people today in the so-called Christian religious world. They're advocating that they have this gift or this power. I really just cringe when I hear them talk about that. Because that tells me they haven't studied good, have they? But yet, there are those among men that want to sound as though that they have been given a special power that nobody else has today. And I'll jump ahead, and this is not part of our lesson, but the thought just came through to me. When did this gift end, or has it ended?
It
what? When that which is perfect is come. Now, what is he speaking to? Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Well, let's look at the next question here now.
Whose power has a lame man been made whole? According to verse 10, Jesus Christ. By whose power can we be saved? So the answer to Jesus Christ in verse 12 establishes that it's by his name alone.
In other words, he's emphasizing by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified. That is the one that whose power he's talking about. So any other comments or questions along that line?
It just strikes me with the irony of the situation. Look back. Here, this man, we'll talk about in a minute, who he was in terms of his education, is able to be so compelled to these men who serve as high priests.
Right. Amar has done a great job, but just in case somebody missed it, I want to read verse 5 and 6 here. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" And this is when Peter then answers, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is when he speaks up. Any other thoughts or questions or comments along that line? Free? Yeah. Appreciate those good comments and questions now. Our next question here.
What caused these men to marvel, Peter and John? Verse 13 says they marveled at their boldness of these unlearned and ignorant men.
What profession were these men in? We might call it their profession. Prior to this, they were fishermen. They were not of the elite of the educated of the day. And I can understand why that people would have great wonder. Here it is. Here it is, these old fishermen out here. Look at what they're talking about. What kind of education do they have? And there was some kind of educational system of the day, but very few had rights to it. Any other comments along that line?
Well, regarding 2 Corinthians 4, the gospel was put inside these earthen vessels. Talking about the men who, clay jars, I think is what some people say. And the reason for that is that the power may be of God and not of us.
Right. Well, as we know now from our study here, that these apostles, they are being endowed with this ability to speak, but it's not really them doing the speaking, is it? They are only the tool that's being used for God to get His message over. Any other comments along that line? Okay, our next question there.
Did the council try to deny that a miracle had been performed? Verse 14, no. The holding of the men which were healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it.
All right. And we notice now, digressing a little bit, when Peter begins to speak now, he's addressing the authorities and the Sanhedrin, that court, so to speak. So he's supposed to be speaking to those of the elite of that period of time. And so we understand now. But here it is, this old fisherman out here. Look at what he's teaching. And how does he do this as opposed to these educated of that day? So I think it almost reminds me of the day in which we live. We have some people that have obtained an out-educational system of this world or this country. And they speak and it sounds like they are the authority. But then we have this person who has not attained this kind of educational levels. And yet he can speak and be more intelligent toward the answering the question or discussing the situation that exists than that person who has all these insignias following his name. So to me, that's a good illustration of what we're talking about. Any other? That is a great point, and I'm like you. We don't have any information as to where he went or what he did, but here we have him present at this time. And he's a living example of the action that has been taken. Right. Any other comments along those lines? Our next question here. Now, isn't it amazing these so-called educated people of their day? As we would phrase it, they were just dumbfounded. Here it is, these old fishermen out here, these uneducated folks, and what they're saying is so truthful. And I'd like to just go back and read a couple of verses or so here, beginning with verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Realized they had been with Jesus. That tells us something, that these people that are raising all these questions now, that they recognize and they know enough about Jesus to know that He was an excellent teacher. And seeing the man who had been healed, as somebody has already emphasized, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And when they commanded them to go aside out of the council and conferred among themselves, in other words, instead of them going to the back room to make all this, they asked these folks to remove themselves. And if you've ever been in a court of law in our legal system, many times they'll get to a certain point and I'm not a legalist, so I don't know how they determine what to do, but I've been involved in being a witness, and they asked me to go with this group to this back room, and I don't know where the purpose is from me or those that are being witnesses to help insight them into some things that they don't know for them to make a decision. But here it is, they ask them to wait for them. And so here we place to say, among themselves saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem we cannot deny. So it spreads no further among the people, so that it spreads no longer. They wanted to kill the conversation, is what they wanted to do. And so it will not spread any further among the people. Let us severely threaten them. And from now on, they speak to no man in His name. Any other comments? Let's look at the next question. Let's notice how they answered these people. They didn't get involved in a shouting match. As I'm sure that you and I may have witnessed some of that in our day among people, or we've heard about some of those shouting matches. And all they did, they just laid the facts before them, didn't they? When you and I get in a discussion with people about the truth, I would encourage all of us, and I'm chastising myself first and foremost, to know enough about the Scriptures that we can just quote Scripture. The Scripture will take care of itself. Bob? All of them great points. And you emphasize here that these men who are apostles, how they have changed. Now, let me bring it back to other comments that have already been made. Having obeyed the gospel, all of us, and hey, I don't know enough. I need to learn a lot more. So don't think I'm an expert yet. But I know from experience, as I have explained to you, that most of my kinsmen and so forth, they were the religious world, but they had not obeyed the true gospel of our Lord. But I have been in family gatherings when somebody starts wanting to emphasize Scripture, and they miss the boat so far till they're not even in the water. And I learned a long time ago, don't get into an argument, but just have enough knowledge of the Scriptures that you can insert a Scripture here and there to help refute what is being discussed. But don't get in a big argument, because you're going to lose the argument.
Part of the compelling evidence that these fishermen are now in front of these
great point, because we know that these so-called men of great learning, they're going to take issue with whatever is said. But now Peter is getting his information from the headquarters. And so Peter can quote this, and that's what I'm saying to you and I today. We need to continue to study, so that we equip ourselves to give an answer to any question that may arise of the reason of the hope that lies within us. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was teaching the young preacher Timothy. Study. And again, I want to emphasize, I need to keep studying more and more and more. Any other questions or comments along that line? Okay, our next question. I forget the question we're on. I ought to keep my finger on it. Which one? Okay. So he's talking about speaking with boldness. And what is a good definition of boldness?
It's not arrogance.
It's not arrogance.
The American standard uses confidence.
And how can you speak with confidence? Knowing the truth of the facts, right? So, if someone can speak with boldness, then he has to present the facts. And this goes back to my comment about being in family gatherings and so forth, and people begin to talk about scriptures and so forth, or pretend to do this. And so we have to have the boldness. That is, we have to be equipped so that we can insert facts. Not get into an argument, but just insert facts and let the facts take care of themselves. Any other comments along that line? You got to have the courage to speak up. And where would we get that courage from? From knowing the scriptures, right?
In their days, all they could do is take our lives for them, take their lives for them. They couldn't take their salvation or their spiritual life away from them. So they were confident in that, and they exactly voted.
Oh, absolutely. Go to the scriptures and see that, but go to secular history and read some things that took place. That's right. Absolutely.
Always
good point. Appreciate it. Okay, let's see, number 12? Is that the second bell? Well, we'll just hold the last two till next week and pick up and then include them with the others.